Today's episode is brought to you by Canby Foursquare Church. Since 1978, a place to grow, connect, and serve. In-person services are back with some restrictions to help ensure everyone stays safe and healthy. For the latest, visit their website at canbyfoursquare.com.
Welcome to Now Hear This, Canby,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me? Welcome to the Now Hear This, Canby podcast, back after our Independence Day break. We hope you had a wonderful and safe holiday weekend. Thanks for listening. I'm Tyler Frankie, and this is what's happening in our community. A Malala man was taken into custody Monday after driving the wrong way on his town's Independence Day parade route and disobeying orders from police, authorities said. According to a July 4th Facebook post from the Malala Police Department, 48-year-old Christopher Eby was charged with reckless driving and endangering, disorderly conduct, and attempting to elude and interfere with a police officer. MPD said officers received reports of a wrong-way driver that was heading toward the front of the Giant Street Parade, which was being led by Malala Police Chief Chris Long, around 10 a.m. Monday. Malala police officer Jamil Kassab responded to the vehicle and ordered the man to turn around, but he reportedly ignored the directive, according to the post. Moments later, the driver was stopped and pinned with assistance of the Malala Fire Department, officials said. The driver was later identified as Eby, who was then taken into custody without incident following a brief negotiation. Police say no one was injured during the incident, and the parade resumed after the scene was cleared. Thank you to the citizens and spectators of the parade for remaining calm and safely staying out of harm's way, said Malala PD, who also thanked Malala Fire, Clackamas County Sheriff's Office, Oregon City Police, Milwaukee Police, and Sandy Police for their assistance. Super proud of all involved, said Malala Mayor Scott Kaiser. This is a perfect example of the incredible law enforcement and fire personnel our city has. A strike at one or more area hospitals, including Providence, Willamette Valley in Oregon City and Providence, Milwaukee, remains a possibility after nurses at the largest of the three medical centers, Providence, St. Vincent, and Portland, rejected a tentative agreement with management. Their union, the Oregon Nurses Association, negotiated the tentative deal earlier in June covering 1,600 nurses at St. V's, but union members voted to reject it by a 4-1 margin, Oregon Public Broadcasting reported on June 23rd. Put simply, hundreds of experienced frontline ONA nurses looked at Providence's offer and said it's not good enough, said registered nurse Jessica Lobel, a maternity nurse at St. Vincent and a member of ONA's bargaining team. Now the ONA nurse bargaining team at St. Vincent and hospital leadership will return to the bargaining table. Using the federal mediator who helped us come up with the current proposed contract, we hope to quickly work through our differences to draft a contract the represented nurses of Providence St. Vincent will approve, Jennifer Burrows, RN and CEO of St. Vincent, said in a statement. though ONA union leaders are holding separate and independent contract negotiations for each of the three Providence medical centers, a successful agreement at St. V's would likely have put tremendous pressure on the much smaller Willamette Falls and Milwaukee hospitals to end their holdouts. Nurses at St. Vincent voted to authorize a strike in May, but have not officially called one. A strike is still a possibility moving forward if the sides are unable to resolve their disputes. ONA represented nurses at Providence Willamette Falls Medical Center and Providence Milwaukee Hospital have also voted to authorize strikes. All three hospitals are part of the Renton, Washington-based Providence system. ONA represents more than 4,000 frontline nurses working in 10 Providence Health System facilities from Portland to Medford. The Canby School District is reminding parents and students of the new schedules for the 2022-23 academic year, with the school days for middle and high school students starting and ending later than those at elementary schools and 91. The change, which was first announced in January, effectively shifts the start time for CHS and BPMS students 1 hour later from 7:40 a.m. to 8:40 a.m., while the day for elementary and 91 school students will begin 1 hour earlier, 8 a.m., instead of the previous start time of 9, excuse me. District officials said the charge was based on educational best practices for student achievement, with research showing that adolescents naturally stay up and wake up later than children ages 5 to 11, and that later start times can help improve their educational performance and success. Officials worked with stakeholders throughout the decision-making process, including the school board and bus service, students, parents, teachers, and administrators. Next school year, Canby students will also have 1 hour early release each Wednesday, which will replace the traditional late start. Teachers and staff will continue to work during this time, meeting to evaluate student data and planning ways to improve student learning. Director of Communications Kristen Wohler said research shows this type of collaborative time is effective as a tool for school improvement, with at least one expert calling it, quote, the most powerful professional development and change strategy available. To help with the transition for families, the district is planning to implement a low-cost after-school childcare program to serve the Canby elementary schools from 2:30 to 4:30 p.m. or 1:30 to 4:30 on Wednesdays. This comes as a result of listening to families when we ask for your thoughts on shifting school times, Wohler explained. In order to launch the program, the district is seeking to hire site leads and childcare assistants. Those interested in applying may do so online at the district website. For copies of the new school schedules, find this story on our website at canbyfirst.com. Cougar Country Hometown Sports Coverage is brought to you by Reif & Hunsaker PC. When you need an attorney, turn to the firm Canby has trusted for over 50 years. Call them today at 503-266-3456. For the latest sports news, follow us on Twitter at Cougar Country OR and Instagram at Cougar Country Pod. Ready, aim, first! That sums up the Canby trap shooting team's performance at the Oregon High School Clay League's 2022 state tournament last weekend at Hillsboro Trap and Skeet Club, as the state's largest high school trap team was also named its best. Super sophomore Tyler Schweitzer paced the field of nearly 600 amateur sharpshooters, scoring a stellar 97 out of 100 on the day, and senior Brandon Slater, a longtime leader for the team, tied for second with 96 to lead the Cougs to their first ever state trap shooting championship. 8th grade prodigy Eamon Aiden Greisenauer blasted 91 of 100 targets, sophomore Riley Sullivan added 90, and junior Elijah Rowley scored 89 for the Cougs. Canby's overall team mark of 463 was just enough to squeak by Class 2A conference rival Newberg and Oregon City, which tied for second with 460 each. It was a great day, head coach Chuck McClarity said. It was warm, but the team had lots of pop-up shades and tried to keep cool and stay hydrated. The Cougar athletes also enjoyed a barbecue with their teammates, coaches, and families as they reveled in the spectacular performance on one of the fastest-growing sports' largest stages. A total of 580 high school shooters from across Oregon participated in the two-day tournament. The biggest factors in winning today came down to the athletes that have put in the time practicing year-round and were able to keep calm and focused with the spotlight on them, said an excited McClarity, who has led the team since district officials approved its formation in 2016. I'm just super happy that all the hard work these athletes have been putting in all year at practice is paying off, he said. Huge thank you to all the volunteer coaches, scorekeepers, and families, and Canby Rod and Gun Club for allowing us to use their facilities. McClarity also shouted out the CRGC Educational Foundation for its sponsorship and local magician and business owner Scott Anderson, who hosted two fundraisers in support of the team in June. Next up is the USA High School Clay Target League National Championships on July 7th through the 10th in Mason, Michigan. The Cougs will send a five-man contingent this year of Slater, Schweitzer, Rally, Caden Ide, and Isaac Odell. It's back! That's right, Canby's signature Independence Day celebration, one of the North Willamette Valley's most popular and exciting community events, returns this summer in all of its glory. Sponsored by the City of Canby, the community's beloved annual July 4th blast includes the one-of-a-kind parade through downtown Canby, local street fair featuring dozens of local food vendors and artisans, arcade truck and kids zone, sprawling classic car show, Canby fire-hosted obstacle course, and live entertainment from both the iconic Waite Park gazebo stage and family-friendly beer garden on 2nd Avenue. Afterward, grab your blankets and camp chairs and head to Waite Park for the incredible community fireworks show by Canby Fire and Western Display Fireworks, starting at dusk at Trost Elementary and Baker Prairie Middle School. This is the community extravaganza 3 years in the making, the one you've all been waiting for, bigger and better than ever. 10 a.m. Monday, July 4th, only in downtown Canby. For times, parade route, and other information, or to get involved, visit canbyindependenceday.com. Hey Tyler, read any good books lately?
Yeah, actually I'm reading a really good one right now.
Awesome, what's it about?
It's kind of complicated, but there's like these two kids with an absent parent, and then this mysterious stranger shows up with his sinister accomplices, and they just start wreaking havoc in their lives. I think it's like a Faustian metaphor.
Wow, that sounds really dense.
It is.
Interesting though, who wrote it?
You know, I think it's like a doctor, starts with like an S or something, Sass, Sos.
Tyler, are you reading The Cat in the Hat?
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to. It's taken me like 2 months to get this far.
Okay. Well, hey, whatever your interest or reading level, open the world of all things books at the Book Nook in downtown Canby.
Yeah, guys, this local, independently owned and operated store is your one-stop shop for the latest releases and great deals on a huge variety of previously owned books, as well as games, art, and writing supplies and gifts.
They also do book clubs and game nights if you're looking for some fun, healthy activities right here in Canby. And hey, you know, for you, Tyler, they have a really expansive selection of children's books.
Oh, cool. Anyway, check them out on Facebook and Instagram, online at booknookcanby.com, or stop by 294 Northwest 2nd Avenue and let their friendly staff introduce you to your new favorite read. Hey, Frankie, why do you think I'd be interested in children's books?
We'll talk about it later.
Oh, okay.
All right, on the Canby Conversation today, we are so happy to be talking once again with JC and Katrina Mercer. They are the founders and directors of the Oregon Bigfoot Festival. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing great. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, so glad to have you back on the show. Tell us a little bit. The Oregon Bigfoot Festival, much like Bigfoot itself, is an event that supposedly is rumored to. No, I'm kidding. It was originally scheduled for 2020 to make its debut. You guys started it not in Canby, but the event was coming to the fairgrounds. And of course, because of COVID, it's been put off for a couple of years, but it's happening this summer.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
It's now expanded to Oregon Bigfoot Festival and beyond.
So that includes all things cryptid, paranormal, supernatural. We're including everything this time.
That's awesome. When you have, you know, all the extra years to plan, it kind of like, oh, right? What else could we add?
Yeah, exactly. Almost 3 years in the planning.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about the history. I know, like I said, it started not in Canby, a different park, and just kind of grew and grew to what it is today, where it's like, we need to, you know, rent the fairgrounds to put it on.
Right. It started in Glen Otto in Troutdale in 2017.
Yeah.
And it just kept growing. The last festival that we had, it was around 7,000 people. And that was just with Bigfoot. So imagine with everybody else coming out that, you know, believes in, you know, ghosts and all of, you know, aliens and everything else. So imagine how big that can grow. And so parking was getting to be an ordeal where we were at. And so Canby has great parking. And we also were limited on the capacity. At Glen Otto, we were only able to have 1,500 people at a time on the grounds, and here we don't have to worry about that also. So that's a really nice, convenient thing for us.
Yeah, yeah. Is there more Bigfoot in our area as well, or is that just unrelated?
What do you mean? Do you mean like?
No, I'm just teasing. That was a joke.
That's a loaded question.
Yeah,
that's a loaded question.
I don't want to get you in trouble. But I do want to ask. So tell us a little bit about what the initial inspiration was for you guys to put this on in Troutdale, and did it surprise you how quickly and how large it grew? That's obviously two big questions. But start out where this all began.
So it was. Really, it was just walking in Hood River, and we were seeing all the stores with the Bigfoot, items. And JC asked me, he says, well, does Oregon have anything like a festival or anything that they put on? And I said, well, not that I'm aware of. And then it just, you know, took off from there. And he was originally just going to have it at my mom's rec center at her condo.
Naturally holds like 50 people.
Oh, no.
thinking, you know, we don't know if anyone's going to be interested. But then luckily we didn't do that because, you know, we had so many people show up. And it just like took on a life of its own from there.
Yeah.
No, I'm from Las Vegas. That's why she was telling you that I was looking around and seeing all this stuff.
Yeah.
So it was new to me that there was so much Bigfoot items like all over the place.
Yeah.
So, and then I've also been in the entertainment business for what, 22 years. So I was kind of itching to do something here in Oregon.
Yeah. Well, I mean, gosh, I don't think I knew that, JC. You must have gotten used to seeing people in Bigfoot costumes on the Strip and doing weddings and stuff like that.
you see
that's Elvis, I think.
Right? Oh, Elvis. Okay. I get confused. Some of his periods, he was a little hairier than others.
They're all blurry pictures.
Right. Yes, it's hard to tell. I think you guys spoke to this a little bit, but kind of the second part of that question, obviously you were not sure what to expect, but after a couple of years, were you just stunned by how big and how widespread the interest in this subject and related subjects were?
Well, I know. Speaking for myself, like I kept on questioning our account, the people that were clicking people in. I kept on questioning. You know, are you sure? Are you sure? Is that right?
Yeah.
And then they actually busted like five or six clickers.
Oh no.
And they did that they did that. What? Like the last 3 years, right?
Yeah.
Like they kept on busting clickers every year. Every year they would bust clickers.
They're like just exploding. Like the numbers are too high, like in a cartoon.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like it really was crazy.
And then
yeah,
also,
it's like in that those cartoons where the numbers like go so fast that after a while they just say like crazy, isn't it, or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. It was actually pretty unbelievable. We were told by people that were coming in that people were parking literally miles away and then walking all the way to the park just to get there.
Well, wow. I was going to say my brother and sister-in-law came from Astoria and they were saying that the license plates were from all over. They couldn't believe how many different states had came, and they said it took them like 45 minutes to find parking. So I was like, oh, and that's one reason why we're glad that Camby has the extra parking area. So. Yeah.
And like all 3 years, we've actually drawn people from Hawaii, Alaska,
Massachusetts,
California.
Yeah.
Like literally all across the nation, people are coming to check this out. Still, like that's still happening. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I want to talk about, what the actual event is about. But first, can you share just a little bit? I imagine, there may be some listeners kind of listening to this that are just like, what? There's like a whole community, like a huge following of Bigfoot here in Oregon. Like, what are these people talking about? Can you tell us just a little bit kind of about the culture and sort of the folks that you've kind of discovered through this event, the community that's there?
Well, actually, it turns out Bigfoot is across the nation. And believe it or not, the most sightings are over on the East Coast. Mm. If you Google Bigfoot sightings, there's a bunch of maps that'll pop up and it'll show you actually, where the sightings have taken place. And the majority of them have been central to East Coast. And then obviously, Oregon and Washington has, and into California has a heavy population also. But it actually turns out too that the Sasquatch, I'll call it a creature, the Sasquatch creature actually has a lot of should we call it offspring? Or variations of it throughout the world.
Reboots? I guess it's a reboot. That's what we call it nowadays.
Yeah, there's obviously Yetis and other creatures that are similar. The skunk ape, Bigfoot, which was actually Sasquatch. Exactly. Yeah.
But it's also amazing when you start talking to people that there's so many people that have had experiences, but they don't want to talk about it unless because they don't want people to think, are they crazy or whatever. So, but once you start talking about it, you find out that there's a lot of people out there that have had experiences.
You know, what's crazy is that our national forest, I know in Oregon and I believe in Washington and I'm almost positive it's California. So I could be over speaking on that.
Yeah.
But there's actual real postings in the parks that state don't approach these things, don't try to feed them or anything like that.
Yeah.
So there's actually disclaimers, and that's interesting because these aren't funny jokes or whatever. They're real signs, they're real warnings about real creatures. So the National Forestry actually takes it very, very seriously.
Yeah. So do you find then that that a lot of the community and a lot of the folks that have been coming to your festival and your events are folks that are the true believers, the folks that really, believe in Bigfoot and are sort of looking for like-minded folks, or that elements of people that are maybe just curious, just open-minded to it, or kind of a mix?
Yeah, I think it's kind of a mix.
Yeah.
There's some that are open-minded to it, but are a little bit skeptical. And then you have the real true believers that are constantly watching, finding Bigfoot and anything they can get their hands on to to see, you know. But yeah, I definitely think there's a little bit of both coming.
And are there also folks that are just not, you know, believe it's just a legend? Have no doubt that there's no such thing as Bigfoot, but just enjoy the kind of culture of it and the fun of it.
Yeah, exactly. Our event actually is a family fun, whimsical event. So yeah. when you come to our event, you're going to see cartoon characters, you're going to see illustrations and artwork and
Bigfoot.
Yeah, we actually have a Bigfoot from Ravenous Studios. They're providing our movie studio quality Bigfoot.
Nice.
So it's not just a guy in a suit. It's an actual, would you call that an FX costume?
Yeah.
So we're really happy to be working with them. They've been working with us for the last
2 years.
Well, actually from year one. So, our event, you know, is very whimsical, family fun. But then we also get serious too. We also have, we have serious guests, and we have other smaller events that happen inside the festival that are inclusive to the admission. And those events have specific topics as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I won't ask you guys which camp you fall into as far as believing in Bigfoot, again, to not get you in trouble.
I actually believe actually believe that there's a 100%.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be a monster. It may not be, Harry and the Hendersons.
Yeah.
but it's more than likely a forest ape. I mean, just an undiscovered creature that science hasn't proven to be fact yet, and that happens like every day in the ocean, and on land.
Yeah, I believe too. I mean, I know JC sometimes is like, "Well, why don't they get good pictures?" You know, like you see these pictures, and I said, "Well, if you're terrified, you know, because you think about you're in that situation." And, you know, you're pulling out your camera. I mean, you're going to be, your heart's pumping, racing, and you're trying to get your camera, you know, steady and stuff. I don't know that I would stick around.
And then also, too, it's like, I mean, there's so many hoaxers out there that, you know, stage the shots and, take fake photos.
Yeah.
Some of the legit shots that are being taken that look really good, you can't tell if it's fake or if it's a hoax because some of the photos that are out there that have been legit that are like that look too good to be true.
Mm.
Well, they probably are true, but we can't tell because there's such a big amount of people that are causing the hoaxes. So whenever you see a real one, you don't really pay too much attention to it because you think it's a hoax.
Could be. Thank you guys for sharing that. I wasn't sure if you'd be willing to go on record, but that's really cool to hear your perspective on that. I do want to ask, you guys are kind of the experts on maybe not the top Bigfoot experts, but definitely among the experts in sort of the culture of Bigfoot and building, events around it. There are events like yours, there's big shows like Finding Bigfoot. What have you found and what do you think is the appeal of the Bigfoot legend or investigation?
I would think it's the unknown. I would think that there's a draw to things that are unexplained and almost what seems to be unreal, which this year our theme is monsters and mayhem, and that includes the ghosts and UFOs and all those other things we talked about and. Yeah. The paranormal world is intriguing and there's a lot to it. So I do believe that probably almost everybody that's got any interest in what we're doing does believe to some degree, whether it be a spirit, a UFO sighting, a Bigfoot sighting, or something else.
Yeah.
I'm Roz Mason. I'm running for Oregon Senate District 26. This is a rural district, and while our area has historically been seen as a Republican stronghold, this is simply no longer the case. A near even number of registered voters from both parties now live in our area, and the voice of independent and non-affiliated voters is critically important. I'm the candidate with the best track record of bridge building and working across the political spectrum. I'm committed to representing all people in my district. I show that through my involvement in public safety, the military, business, and agriculture. We all want responsible legislation and civility. In this race, your vote and involvement really matter. Join us at masonfororegon.com. Paid for by Mason for Oregon 21968.
Hey, Tyler, we have a furry new friend I wanted to show you. His name is Frankie with an I-E. Isn't that cute?
Oh, I get it, because you're Frankie with a C-K-E.
Yeah.
That's so clever.
I know.
The only cute thing I see on this video is me, because you're blurry and frozen.
What? No way. I just got a new phone, and it's supposed to have a great camera.
Dude, you can have the best camera in the world, but you still freeze up if your video calls don't have quality internet.
So what should I do? Frankie's playing in the pool, and it's absolutely adorable.
I'm guessing you're using your mobile data for this FaceTime call, right? Just connect to your home Wi-Fi instead. I bet your video comes through just fine. You did just upgrade to direct link with Wi-Fi and fast upload speed, so you might as well get the best use out of them.
Oh, yeah, I did. Okay, hang on. There. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I should be on my Wi-Fi now.
Yep.
Can you see Frankie in the pool?
Oh, he looks like he's having a blast. See what fast upload speeds can do? For upload and downloads at the speed of aww, visit www.directlink.coop/internet or give him a call at 503-266-8111.
Frankie, give me back my phone.
I truly do believe a lot of people want to believe, but we just don't have all the supporting evidence, you know, so then that makes you skeptical. But I do think that, like you said, you know, it does make you curious, very curious, and want to know more about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the supernatural world is massive. It's just as massive. It's actually probably bigger than our Earth.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot going on that we, you know, that we get comfortable with or just haven't experienced yet. And, you know, now with cell phones out, I mean, people are seeing a lot of stuff and they're able to get proof now. And, you know, then it's up to us to filter it out and, you know, figure out what's real, what's not real. I mean, it's even interesting that just recently Congress just had that meeting, totally telling everybody that there's some weird
UFOs
stuff out here.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like they're admitting that there are legit UFO sightings that they can't explain and they want some help with.
Yeah.
You know, all these years have gone by and now they're finally admitting it.
That's what I'm waiting for is the House or Senate Committee on Bigfoot. And I want to see what their investigation comes out.
Yeah. And you're always, you know, with that particular topic, Bigfoot's, you know, he's slick, yeah. You know, it's like, or I should say he and she, cause there's, you know, male and female, you know, in my opinion, there's probably a small population of them. So, and they don't want to be found. They have zero interest in you know, human contact. You know, I mean, we're,
although some of the sightings and stuff have been Bigfoot curious about us.
That's true. Yeah. Actually. Yeah. You're right about that.
Yeah.
You're right. And then those are the sightings that we see and go, oh, yeah, that's not real. Well, well, why not? Why not? I mean,
I do feel that in terms of, you kind of mentioned like the, you know, other paranormal things, ghosts, aliens, you know, what have you, I do feel that the Bigfoot and other cryptids are more accessible in a way, right? Like it's, you know, if you're going ghosts, it's like, okay, well, I also have to acknowledge that this whole like spiritual realm, like you have to add on that. If it's, oh, I believe in elves or things, okay, now we're adding magic. But Bigfoot's just an animal, right? I know animals exist. It's just an animal we don't know about yet.
Right.
That's my opinion. I really do believe that it's just an animal that hasn't, that science hasn't proven to be fact yet.
Yeah.
And then what's so crazy about that? It's just an animal.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about the actual event for folks that, especially some of our folks in Canby that maybe hadn't gone out to Troutdale to catch it yet. What is the Bigfoot Festival? And now Oregon Bigfoot Festival and beyond, tell us a little bit about what it's like.
Well, so this year we added a theme called Monsters and Mayhem, and that's two, there's two shows that I call it a show. It's actually a panel discussion. But there's two Monsters of Mayhem. There's a 10:30 in the morning show, and then there's a 4 o'clock in the afternoon show.
Okay.
Both of those shows are identical with the celebrities that are in them. They're hosted by two different people. Mel Skahane and Jason McLean are the hosts for those particular shows. The celebrities that will be participating in that, some of the featured ones, obviously, is Jason Haas, from Ghost Hunters, David Schrader from The Halzer Files, Cliff Berrickman from Finding Bigfoot. We've got Sarah Lemos from Ghost Town Terror, and then Sherry DeBeneditti from Ghost Hunters. And there's also more on board also. So, with the Monsters of Mayhem, you have a panel, an all-star panel discussion talking about various things from Bigfoot to ghosts.
Interesting.
And then they'll come in, and then we also have like, I don't know, around 110 vendors.
Oh, that's right.
And then we'll have a beer garden.
Yeah, no, that's brand new for us. We haven't had a beer garden before, so we're happy about that. There'll also be live music. We have a live band playing, also musicians and live band. There's a Native American performance that'll be happening.
Oh, nice.
So there's like a lot of stuff that we weren't able to do at the other place because we were limited on space and just parking and just limited in general. Troutdale was very nice to us, though. They've always been supportive. So we definitely want to give a shout out to Troutdale, the city council, and everybody was just really, really cool to us.
Similar to a con, would it be fair to say for folks that may be more familiar, Comic Con, things like that?
You know what? It's been influenced by that. Definitely has been influenced with that. We kind of taken the paranormal world and brought it. That's probably a fair way to put it.
Okay. Yeah. Just for folks that might be a lot more familiar. And I guess a question I wanted to ask is kind of in that vicinity as well is you mentioned that you're going to have someone wearing a really high quality Bigfoot suit, but do you get cosplayers and things at this event? Other folks wanting to show off their Bigfoot chops?
We have had some show up. Not, I wouldn't say a lot, but they're more than welcome to do that.
I would expect it to be more so this year with the aliens and the creatures and stuff. As a matter of fact, we're going to have a snow beast also show up. So that's going to be too.
Like a wampa.
Yeah. So there's definitely going to be other creatures roaming around, but there's only two official ones that are with us, and you'll be able to see those whenever whenever they're out walking around, you'll know there are people.
Yeah. So if you see a really, really good Bigfoot at this event, and it's not one of those two, might be the real one. You never know.
Right.
He heard about it and wanted to come check it out. He's like, hey, how come I didn't get an invite to this thing? I'm the star here.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yes.
Awesome. Well, we are. I'm a big fan of this whole culture and the event. I'm so glad that you guys are here in Canby. Really appreciate you taking time out to talk to us and tell us about it today. Is there definitely want to ask how folks can find out more information and follow you? But anything else that either of you would like to add?
Well, just the admission is $25, and then kids 12 and under are free. So makes it affordable for families.
Yeah,
that
that's awesome.
Come to.
And it's $35 at the gate.
Online. And right now we have promo code for Freedom for until July 9th.
Okay.
I don't know when this is airing, but until July 9th, if they want to get $4 off a ticket.
Yeah, that's excellent.
Awesome.
Yeah. We're looking forward. What's up?
Oh, you want to give them the where to go to get tickets?
Oh, yeah. So our website is OregonBigfootFestival.com. And the information is there.
Nice. It's a great website, OregonBigfootFestival.com. Check that out. And on social media as well, Oregon Bigfoot Festival. Thank you guys so much for coming on. We're really excited and looking forward to seeing you. Did we say what date it was? On July 30th. Saturday, July 30th. Yeah. I think we might have forgotten to say the date. So at the end of this month, we're really excited. And it must just feel good after a couple of years and the disappointment to finally be at this stage, yeah?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, we're pretty excited about it.
Awesome. Well, we'll see you later this summer. Thank you, guys.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Have a good evening.
You too. Tyler, did you know that the Australian lyrebird can mimic any sound that it hears, even chainsaws?
No, that's super interesting.
Did you know that a baby puffin is called a puffling? That baby sea otters can't swim, so their moms wrap them up in pieces of kelp until they learn how to paddle?
Wait, do you know any trivia that isn't like animal related?
Not really, but here's some stuff you may not know about the Wild Hare Saloon, where Canby goes to eat and have fun.
Okay.
The Wild Hare is one of Canby's longest running locally owned restaurants. Owners Joan and Darren Moden have been in business for 16 years.
That's cool.
Yep. Heck, you were just a baby back then. And they love to give back. They've been members of the Canby Chamber for that long, and they donate over $20,000 to local sports, FFA programs, and civic organizations each year.
Wow, I'm legitimately caught off. That's cool.
Yeah. They also support more than 30 jobs in the community through their award-winning staff, some of them as young as 18. Hey, that's older than you are.
Dude, I'm 10 months younger than you.
With the days getting longer and the weather getting warmer, the Canby Wild Hare's expansive outdoor patio is the place to be. Furry friends, welcome.
Well, that sounds great. I'm going to go check them out just off of Highway 99E next to the Space Age in Canby at 1656 Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City, or on their website at thewildhairsaloon.net.
Now Hear This Canby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Canby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Canby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe. And we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.